Welcome back to the Weekend Hour with Pat Williams on News Talk AM 580 WDBO. Now here's your host, Pat Williams.
John Mullins, our guest from London, co-author of Getting to Plan B. John, I love your two airline stories. You got any more like that in other fields?
Yeah, we profile 20-some countries, 20-some companies in the book, companies from India, from Japan, from China, from the U.S., from Europe, all over the world. And I think what's interesting is each of them tells sort of a different story about the way that they created a business model that really revolutionized their industry. One of my favorites, because I come from the industry, is the story of Zara, the Spanish retailer that's now global. I don't know if you have a Zara store in Orlando. I wouldn't be surprised if you do. But in essence, they're a fashion apparel store, kind of like Gap or The Limited in the U.S. But when they started, they turned the whole supply chain upside down. So companies like Gap, and I used to work at Gap a long time ago, companies like Gap and Limited base their success on saying, you know, we can predict what's going to be hot next year, and we're going to order boatloads of it from China or Hong Kong or wherever it's made, and we're going to ship it in over the water, and it's going to come in, and we're going to put it in our warehouses, and we're going to feed it out. Well, the problem is it's really hard to predict which fashions are going to work, so that kind of traditional strategy of making stuff in low-cost countries and bringing it in and then having to mark down what doesn't sell, that strategy has been really hurt by the likes of Zara. Zara does exactly the opposite. Zara says, you know, we don't know what's going to be hot next year, but we do know that Madonna or the Spice Girls or whoever was on stage last week and got lots of media coverage, and we know what she wore, and we can knock off that dress, and we can have it in our stores in 2 weeks. And what they've done is created this business that's now called fast fashion. So they react so quickly to breaking fashion trends and news. They get the styles in the store really quickly, in as little as 2 weeks. They then don't put much of that style in the store, so the customers know, you know, if I see it today, I better buy it today because it won't be here tomorrow. And as a result, they have a constantly changing inventory assortment. And, of course, what young woman wants to be caught dead in a dress that somebody else is wearing down the street? With these limited amounts of inventory in each style, the chances of that are very small, and people come in much more frequently because they want to see what's new and get the latest stuff. It's an amazing model that kind of combines some of the elements of the working capital model to create a very hard-to-copy combination of them. And Zara's been giving Gap and Limited and the others fits for 10 years, and the old way, they just can't match it.
John, are you a Walmart fan?
I have enormous respect for what Walmart has accomplished as a former retailer. You know, what they deliver year in, year out is amazingly consistent. Pantaloon was started by a guy named Kishore Biani, and he was a pants manufacturing company, and he sold his pants to retailers, and he saw how badly retail was managed in India. He said, I can do that better. I'm going to start a business. Well, I wonder who I should study. Well, I'm going to study Walmart in the U.S., and I'm going to study Marks and Spencer's in the U.K., and so on. And he studied these other companies, and by using them as analogs, that is, a company that's gone before where you can copy something, it gives you enormous insights about how better to run your business. And he studied these analogs and put them together and opened these stores. He's now got three big chains of stores, Food Bazaar and Big Bazaar and Pantaloon. But he took Walmart and he copied the back end, but when he copied the front end, that is a nice, neat, clean, orderly stores with wide aisles and good lighting and all of that, that didn't work. So the really interesting thing was he had to say, well, actually, the analog only goes so far. I've got to do some of it in a different way. And he stole the idea of an Indian bazaar, because in India many people have shopped in bazaars forever, and it's chaotic and noisy and messy and all that. And he said, I've got to mess up the store environment. Otherwise, people are going to just keep walking by, and they don't stop. So Walmart's actually the inspiration for one of the great, great stories in Indian retailing now. But they had to kind of change the formula. And that's one of the key lessons in the book. You want to copy other people, but typically you're going to have to change it. And as you change it, you're going to have to take a leap of faith that says, well, you know, that analog might or might not apply to me here. I better test that leap of faith and make sure I'm right. So, you figure out how to do a little experiment or some kind of test to figure out if you're right. And what Biani found was actually neat stores are not the answer in India. You got to have kind of messy stores, even though you can have the sophisticated supply chain in the back end, like Walmart.
You pose a question at the end of your book. Can you balance a one-legged stool? And I guess you're referring to multi-dimensional business models. What does that question mean?
Well, you know, many of the examples in our book really hang their hat on one of the five elements of a business model. So Google makes all its money because it has an incomparable revenue model that just brings in so much money from all the paid search inquiries that all of us do on Google. So Google's success is all about its revenue model. eBay's success, on the other hand, is all about its gross margin model. eBay, you know, transfers stuff from your attic to my attic, Pat, and, you know, eBay, as we know, never touches that stuff. So it just gets a little fee from what, you know, from that transaction, and its margin on that is nearly 100% because it has only the cost of pushing a few electrons around on the web. So it makes money with a great gross margin model. But some companies, and Zara, as I just described, are examples of companies that put two or three different elements of the five together in a really interesting new way. And those that do that are really hard to imitate. You know, you could imitate Google. Nobody's been able to match their technology yet. But others do have search engines. You can try and imitate eBay, but nobody has. But often, if it's just one element being done, it's a little easier to imitate. Something like what Zara has done is really difficult to imitate. And so by that question about can you balance your business on a one-legged stool, yeah, some companies can. Google and eBay are good examples. But for many others, it's a little more complex.
John, give me three conclusions or action points in the last 2 minutes of our show right now that you would pass on to business leaders or company operators listening this morning?
Well, Pat, if you're an entrepreneur about to start a new venture, I think one thing you should go into it with is a mindset that says, you know, I love my idea. I really want to solve this customer problem. But, you know, I kind of know that plan A probably isn't quite right. So my task, instead of trying to beat down a brick wall with plan A, is to figure out exactly what parts of plan A do and don't work and how I go around the wall to get to a better and more vibrant plan B. On the other hand, if you're a leader in a larger company that's well established and perhaps having some tough times in this difficult economy we're in, this is a really good time to sit back and take stock and say, okay, what's my business model that underlies my current plan A? And could I find a better working capital model or a better gross margin model, for example, that might give me a new way to innovate and come out of this period that we've been through recently and really be a leader as the economy turns around?
Well, it's been a wonderful visit with you, John. By the way, in the closing 30 seconds, how did you end up in London?
I was living in Colorado, and Colorado is a wonderful place, but I had a chance to do a little teaching 10 years ago in London while I was on a sabbatical. And I just fell in love with the culture of London and with the spectacular talent of the London Business School grads who come from 60-some countries around the world. We just have these amazing students at London Business School, and that's actually why I've stayed.
Well,
I do miss the Colorado sunshine.
Congratulations on your book, John. It's so good to visit with you.
Pat, thanks very much.
Getting to Plan B, Breaking Through to a Better Business Model. Harvard Business Press put the book out. We've got another segment coming up. It's AM 580 WDBO, Pat Williams Weekend Hour. Stay with us. We've got more.